Our Old Testament lesson this morning is found in Deuteronomy, the 31st chapter, verses 1 and following. And it's just one of the most beautiful stories in Scripture as Moses, at the end of his ministry, is passing the baton of leadership onto Joshua, whom he's mentored in the faith. It says this: "Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I'm now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, 'You shall not cross the Jordan.' The Lord your God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy those nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them what he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their land. The Lord will deliver them to you, and you must do to them all that I have commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid, do not be terrified of them, for the Lord your God goes with you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you." Then Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, "Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land that the Lord God swore their ancestors to give them, and you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged." May the Lord bless his word to our hearts and minds this morning. Well, we continue the series on family matters, and this morning we're looking at veterans of faith and life. First, I want to get started with something a little humorous. I heard about this elderly couple who had been married for many years, and the woman was always terrified that she might be robbed at night, and so she'd hear a noise, she thought, and she'd send her husband downstairs to check it out, and no one was ever there, and so the husband just got used to it. And then one night, while the wife heard a noise downstairs, and she sent her husband downstairs, and the man didn't think much about it, but he went down the stairs, and there he found a very large man with a very big gun with a barrel pointed at him. And the large man said, "Give me all your valuables and don't say a word." Well, the husband put the valuables into the bag, and the robber turned to leave, and the husband said, "Wait a second. Before you leave, can you come up and meet my wife? She's been expecting you for 30 years. You know, there's a lesson there. If you live long enough, you're going to be right. Well, here's the deal. Sometimes we don't think much about it, but there's times in a culture that is focused so much on youth and what's new and what's young and what's fashionable that there's times when we want to have some wisdom that older folks have to offer us. There's times when you want to see gray hair. You know, if you're going into surgery, you probably want to see some gray hair in the surgeon. Am I right? If you're a young person and you're in the Army or the Navy and you're being led into battle, you might want to see in the general or admiral some gray hair, that they have some wisdom and some experience. If you need an attorney, you probably want one that's got some gray hair. You want some experience. And I think in a world obsessed with young people, sometimes we need to be reminded that our older folks have some tremendous wisdom to share with us. And so this morning I want to focus on grandparents, but I think there's something here for all of us because parents have wisdom to share. And I think all of us, at some point in life, we need to be mentored, but we also need to mentor others. And so I want to think about that this morning. First thing I want to look at is just Moses in this great moment of life. And so Moses, in this beautiful scene, has been told by the Lord that his career in leadership is about to end. And Moses has had an incredible career. And Moses' life is divided really into 40-year periods. 40 years that he was in the household of Pharaoh, being raised into the ways of Pharaoh, something that he would need to know later as he confronted Pharaoh. And there's 40 years that Moses had to spend in the backside of the desert. And Moses had killed an Egyptian, and he had to flee because Pharaoh wanted him dead. And then Moses on the backside of the desert was learning some things, some lessons that he'd need to know later in life. God was refining him and purifying him. And he learned some incredible things there. And then God called him to lead the Israelites from bondage to freedom. And there he confronted Pharaoh. And he saw God's faithfulness there in that moment. And he saw how God led the people from bondage to freedom. And then he saw God part the way so the children of Israel could cross over from the Red Sea. And then he saw God's faithfulness in the wilderness. And he saw God bring the Ten Commandments to them. And so Moses had experienced God's faithfulness in a powerful way. And Moses, along the way, not only learned those lessons of faith, but poured his wisdom into Joshua, his young leader in the faith. And this is what Moses says again. "Then Moses went out and spoke these words to all Israel. I'm now 120 years old, and I'm no longer able to lead you. The Lord has said to me, 'You shall not cross over the Jordan. The Lord God himself will cross over ahead of you. He will destroy those nations before you, and you will take possession of their land. And Joshua also will cross over ahead of you, as the Lord said. And the Lord will do to them as he did to Sihon and Og, the kings of the Amorites, whom he destroyed along with their lands. The Lord will deliver them to you. You must do to them all that I commanded you. Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them, for the Lord your God goes before you, and he will never leave you nor forsake you. So Moses' first lesson to pour into the Israelites, into Joshua, is the lesson of faithfulness. Faithfulness, that God is faithful to us. Come what may, the challenges and adversity of life, that God will be faithful. Just as God was faithful to Moses and God was faithful to the people of Israel, God had seen them and delivered them from the chains of slavery in Egypt. God had seen them across the Red Sea. God had seen them through all those 40 years in the wilderness. And God would now see them as they crossed over the Jordan River into the Promised Land. But it wasn't something that Moses could lead them to, because now he had to pass on the baton of leadership to a new generation. And in our own lives, I wonder, do we take some time? Are we intentional about mentoring others? Do we mentor our children and our grandchildren and remind them of the faithfulness of God? And we talk about our chapters in life, and not just the good times, but the challenges, adversity especially, to pour into them some of the lessons of faith and tell them that God is faithful. And then remind them that they need to be faithful too, to God's commands. God's commands to live faithfully and be true to his word, true to the Ten Commandments, true to justice and peace and fairness, and then faithful to worship the Lord. So faithfulness. Are we teaching our children and grandchildren faithfulness? The next lesson is strength and courage. And Moses, as he spoke these words to Joshua, these were words that God had spoken to Moses, then Moses spoke to Joshua. And they're incredible words of strength and courage. And it says this: "And Moses summoned Joshua and said to him in the presence of all Israel, 'Be strong and courageous, for you must go with this people into the land the Lord swore to their ancestors to give them. And you must divide it among them as their inheritance. The Lord himself goes before you and will be with you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. Do not be afraid and do not be discouraged.'" You know, Moses had chapters in his life where he was afraid and he was discouraged. I think that's why God spoke those words to Moses. That Moses had times of trepidation and fear when God called him from the burning bush. And Moses had times of fear, I think, as he went before Pharaoh and had to face the most powerful leader of the time. But God had been faithful through all of that. And so God speaks to Moses again and says, "Be strong and be courageous." And as Moses looks at Joshua, this leader who he mentored along the way, Moses no doubt knows that Joshua's going to face some new chapters in life, because Joshua's never seen a battle without Moses at his side. And so he knows that Joshua's going to have some moments of fear and trepidation. And the Israelites themselves, there's a new generation of people. And God had led them through the wilderness. And God uses the adversity of life, I think, sometimes. And you realize that, you know, the people that were led from slavery to freedom into the wilderness to wander there for 40 years. And they didn't have the strength, they didn't have the faith to cross the Jordan the first time when they had been at that very same place. And they believed the report of the 10 spies who said, "Listen, there's a great land, but there's giants in the land, and we can't possibly conquer those giants." And Caleb and Joshua said, "Listen, there are giants, but we can trust God, that God will be faithful, and with God's help, we can conquer them." And they had listened to the report of the 10 spies and didn't believe that they had the courage and the strength to conquer those people. And so they'd wandered in the wilderness for 40 years. And that generation had passed away. But I think as that generation was passing away, God not only needed to take them out of Egypt, God needed to take the Egypt out of them. And they had been slaves for 400 years. And they had the mentality maybe of slavery. And so they had to find a new generation who would be forged in a new way of life. God changed their calendar, so the calendar started with the first month that they were freed from Egypt, and God gave them a new way to worship with the Passover. God gave them a new way to live with the Ten Commandments. And so God had forged and fashioned them that new generation. And I think that older generation maybe had poured their faith into this younger generation. And so as Moses looked at Joshua and Joshua looked at those people, he knew that they were afraid of the giants, but he encouraged them with God's faithfulness. It said, "Be strong and courageous. The Lord will never leave you nor forsake you." Paul sounds a similar note. Paul is writing from prison late in his life. And we believe that 2 Timothy is the last letter that Paul ever wrote. He wrote it from prison. He's waiting. It's time to go before the Roman emperor, where he was supposed to be give his testimony of faith, a testimony that Paul himself believed would lead to the emperor taking his life. And Paul believed that he probably would never see Timothy again. And so he writes a letter encouraging Timothy, young Timothy in the faith, and he says this in chapter 2, verse 1. "You then, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things you've heard me say in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to reliable people who will also be qualified to teach others." In other words, pass that on to other people as well. And you think about that challenge of Timothy, not only to take the baton of leadership, but to pass it on to others who will be qualified in the faith. And then he goes on to say this: "For I'm already being poured out like a drink offering, and my time for departure is near. I've fought the good fight. I've finished the race. I've kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all those who have longed for his appearing. In other words, he's just saying to Timothy, listen, here's the baton of faith. Run strong, run hard. I've set the example for you. And now you be faithful in the call of faith and then pass that baton of leadership onto someone else that day. And so you and I not only need to pass on the lesson of faithfulness to our children and our children's children and those we're mentoring, but also the strength and courage of God to challenge them to say, listen, be strong, be courageous. We know that you're going to have moments of challenge and adversity and difficulty in life. You may face an illness. You may face relationship difficulties or financial difficulties. But be strong and courageous. Know that God will never leave you nor forsake you. And the third thing is thankfulness. You know, Moses in his closing chapter of leadership, closing day of his life, why, you think, well, maybe Moses wanted to have a dinner that celebrated him or an award ceremony or something like that. But one of the most amazing things, if you look in Deuteronomy chapter 32, verses 1 and following, is that Moses descends partway up the mountain. Mountain he will ascend to give his life before the Lord and be ascended into heaven. But as he looks out over the children of Israel, he gives them one last lesson. And a beautiful lesson is this. He sings a song. He sings a song. He's at 20 years old. I don't know how his voice, how strong it was, but it's a song of thankfulness. And this is what it says. Listen, O heavens, and I will speak. Hear, O earth, the words of my mouth. Let the teaching fall like rain and the words descend like dew, like showers on new grass, like abundant rain on tender plants. I will proclaim the name of the Lord. I will praise the greatness of our God. He is the rock. His works are perfect, and all his ways are just. A faithful God who does no wrong, upright and just is he. What a beautiful song, and it continues. And as he sings this song, it's a song about the faithfulness of God through all the chapters of Israel's life and how God has been faithful time and time again as the people face challenge and adversity in life. And so he gives a great hymn, a great psalm of thankfulness. And in our own life, I wonder, not just on Thanksgiving maybe, but in the chapters of life, do we pour the lesson of thankfulness into our children and our grandchildren and those we mentor in life? Some great lessons, and one of the greatest keys to happiness in life is to be thankful to God, thankful for God's faithfulness. And so often it's easy to sort of look at the glass as half empty, but in truth, you and I can decide to see the glass half full and even overflowing with God's abundance and grace and all the difficulties in life. And Paul also had the same kind of attitude. Listen to the note of thankfulness in this last words to Timothy. As he says, for I'm already being poured out like a drink offering. That's a kind of an image of offering of thankfulness. And the time for my departure is near. I have fought the fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me. And not only me, but also everyone who longs for his appearing. Such an attitude of beautiful thanksgiving in life. And Paul could have said, well, you know, I won another battle, but he knew that his greatest battle was ahead of him as he faced a moment where he gave his testimony of faith and he was going to give his life for his witness of faith. Yet his spirit is one of thankfulness as he passes on this mantle of leadership to Timothy. And the final thing is this blessing. Blessing. You know, as Moses climbed the mountain there and he sang this song of thankfulness to the Lord, then did an incredible thing. I think a lesson that's been lost on a lot of us. You know, there was a time in our life, certainly as you looked in the Bible, the Old Testament and chapters of transition in the New Testament, when a leader would put their hands on the head or the shoulders of a younger person in the family and they would bless them. And there's many chapters where the blessing of the family is so important. And so Moses lays his hands on Joshua and he blesses Joshua in this chapter and he says, before the whole host of the people of Israel, and he says, this is the person, this is the leader, this is the one I'm blessing. But then Moses also blesses all the tribes of Israel, and so Moses, after this song, says a blessing for each of the 12 tribes. He calls them by name. And this blessing is a beautiful picture. You remember in Genesis, in the first chapter, that God began creation with blessing. And as God created all the creatures of the air and the sea and the land, then God blessed them and told them to be fruitful and multiply. And then God blessed Adam and Eve and told them to be fruitful and multiply and to be stewards of the earth and to be a blessing to others. And then when God called Abraham, God told Abraham he'd be a blessing to all the people. And through his descendants, they'd be a blessing to others. And so you think about these moments. And of course, Moses blessed Joshua and is now blessing the people. And as Moses called each tribe forward, he challenges them. And he brings out both their strengths and their weaknesses. And he weaves them together and says if they will be faithful, that God will be faithful to them. And the most important thing is that Moses blesses each and every one of the 12 tribes of Israel. And in our own life, do we bless our children? We put our hands on their shoulder or kneel down with them and ask for God's blessing and protection each and every day. And in their chapters of life, when they enter high school or college or when they enter a new job, do we lay our hands on them and just say a prayer, a blessing in their life? And maybe in our own life, when we come to that final chapter in life, to be able to bless our kids and to remind them of God's faithfulness and God's blessing, and that God has given them gifts and talents in life, and that God will be faithful to all their life. And sometimes that prayer, a prayer of a mother or father or grandparent, can make all the difference in a child's life, particularly as they face the difficulties and adversity of life. And so in closing, I want to think about that. This psalm that we read, that Nancy led us in a responsive reading in Psalm 90. Sometimes we think about King David as the psalmist. Of course, he was the primary psalmist, but he also collected the psalms of other people. One of them, we know, was from Moses, and that's Psalm 90. And listen again to this note that Moses, with great wisdom, says. He says, Lord, you've been our dwelling place throughout all generations, before the mountains were born or brought forth the earth or the world, from everlasting to everlasting, you are God. For 1,000 years in your sight are like a day gone by. Teach us to number our days aright, that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Satisfy us in the morning with your unfailing love, that we may sing for joy and be glad all our days. May the favor of the Lord God rest upon us. Establish the work of your hands for us. Yes, establish the work of your hands for us. Faithfulness, strength and courage, thankfulness and blessing. Are they keys to our life? Are we taking key moments of our life and pouring them into our children and our grandchildren and young people that we're mentoring in life? And of course, young people need to listen, but you and I need to be intentional about blessing and mentoring young people in life. And listen again to what Paul says to Timothy. For I am already being poured out like a drink offering. The time of my departure is near. I fought the good fight. I finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award for me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who long for our appearing. It's like Timothy is hearing the voice of Paul, and Paul saying to him, listen, Timothy, I've run the race. My race is done. I'm going to cross the finish line. I'm going to receive the crown of glory. But listen, this is also your race now. Here's the baton of leadership. Run hard. Give it all you've got, and one day you too will cross the finish line. Are we doing that? I know in my own life, I thought as my mother's here this morning, and she's been a great example of faith to me. I've seen her face some incredible challenges in life and in relationships and in financial difficulties and illnesses, and her faith has always been so strong. Many times, almost every Saturday night, I call my mother. I call Elise to, not just to talk to her, but I ask her to pray for me, and that I'll have the words and the anointing of God's Spirit in Sunday morning worship, and she often prays for me during the worship service, even though she's down in Florida. And I know, too, there's other examples of faith, and my grandmother was a great person of faith, and in life, she was told at a certain point that she had cancer and that she just had a matter of weeks and months to live, and she heard the doctor's words, but yet she had incredible strength, and she would just sort of fight against that and wanted to live. She had great strength in living, even though she'd seen a lot of adversity, and I saw her go from just walking to using a walker to using a wheelchair to using a walker and walking without that and then going back to a walker and a wheelchair and back and forth. And she never really talked about her cancer. She always called it her arthritis. She said, well, my arthritis is bothering me today. It's like she could tackle arthritis. And she had incredible strength. She'd seen a lot of chapters in depression, some of the lessons of life. And you wonder sometimes when someone is really strong like that and knows how to fight and strain to live, will they know how to gracefully let go at the right moment? But that was another lesson she had to teach us, which is, you know, there was a chapter in life where she knew the end was coming, and it was near Christmas time, and she told her children that she didn't want to pass away around Christmas time. She didn't want Christmas to be a time of sorrow for them, but a time of joy and blessing. And so she strained to live through Christmas, and then not that long after that, she was just prepared, and she went one morning, and she had her bath, and she put on her clothes, and she went in the parlor, and someone went in to look after her, and she said, well, I hear singing with the radio on and the record player on. And he said, no. And she said, well, what do you hear? And she said, well, I hear the hymn, He Poured All His Grace on Me. And beautiful. And then she read John 14, where Jesus said, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, will I come again and to receive you to myself. And shortly after that, she passed away very peacefully. That's a great lesson in life. Know when to draw your strength into living and pouring your life into others, and then know how to let go of life and to move into the next life. You and I have lots of lessons to give our young people. I want to just close with this, the closing incident in Moses' life, which is just a beautiful picture. It says this in Deuteronomy chapter 34. That Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah across from Jericho. And there the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, Negev and the whole region of the Valley of Jericho, the city of palms as far as Zor. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised an oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob when I said, I will give it to your descendants. I have let you see it with your own eyes, but you do not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab in the valley opposite Beth Peor, but to this day no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died. His eyes were not weak, and his strength not gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days until the time of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua the son of Nun was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. And since then no prophet had risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all the signs and wonders the Lord sent to him to do in Egypt to Pharaoh and to the officials in the whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel. Faithfulness, strength and courage, thankfulness and blessing. Moses mentored Joshua, Paul mentored Timothy, and you and I mentored those that we love. The Israelites went on to cross the Jordan River, and under Joshua's leadership were victorious time and time again because Moses had poured his life into Joshua. You and I need to pour our lives into others. Will you join me in prayer? Lord, thank you for the lessons of Moses and the Apostle Paul. Thank you for the lesson of leadership and mentoring. We as parents and grandparents and those who mentor others in life have such an important role. Lord, help us to honor it and to take on that responsibility with new strength and vitality. Help us to be people that are intentional about mentoring others and blessing them. Help us to pass on the lessons of faithfulness and lessons of strength and courage, the lesson of thankfulness and the lesson of blessing. Help us to be people who pour our lives into others, that they may know the lessons that will bring strength and victory in all of life. Through Christ our Lord, and all God's people said, Amen.